Today on Real Radio.
Sometimes salvation comes unexpectedly. But remember this, it may come unexpectedly, but it's free because it's by God's grace.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his topical series called You Need to Know, a collection of lessons on the essentials of our faith. We're in a mini-series entitled You Need to Know All About Your Salvation. You know, one possible starting place to understand what it means to, quote, be saved is to learn what it means simply to believe. Now, the world is full of religions that say, yeah, essentially, you do need to believe, but you also need to add this practice or that ritual. They all seem to say that simply believing is just way too easy. It is? Really? Well, that's what pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs addresses. It's a lesson called You Need to Know All About Your Salvation.
Hebrews 10:14 says, "For by one offering he has perfected." This is an awesome word. Teleo. Those of you who are involved in information sciences, there's something called teleonometry or teleonomic. Teleo comes from this word. Listen to this. "For by one offering he teleoed." Say, what is that? Just hang on. "Forever those who are being sanctified." Pastor, am I sanctified or not? You just said I was, and now that verse says I'm being sanctified. Number one, I said you are sanctified instantly in the presence of God. Done. But when you and I live with each other in fellowship and service one to another, I get to see that you, in fact, are a Christian. And you get to see that I, in fact, am a Christian. How's that lived out? By personal sanctification in this world. I don't get sanctified by what I do. Because I am sanctified, you get to watch me and see that I'm sanctified. It's that simple. Now, the word teleo. This is remarkable. Look at that verse, you guys, because like in information sciences or banking for that matter. How about this? Banking. Good. This is a good picture. Banking. There's an account, let's say, that's got $2 in it. There's an account over here with $1 million in it. They're both completely not related to one another at all. But somebody down at the bank transfers $1 million from this account, teleonomically transfers it, sends the telemetry of information from this one way over to this one, and now there's $1,002,000 in that account. Did you hear that? That's exactly what God did for me. I was completely bankrupt. And Jesus dies on the cross, and God, by the merits of Christ, transfers Jesus' wealth, Jesus's righteousness, Jesus' perfection. God says, let me see, account number 777, 888, transferred to account 0000. Transaction, boop, complete. When Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, listen, Jesus died for our sins on the cross, and when he rose from the dead, he enacted what he paid for. The moment that happened, the account received the deposit. Now, let's listen. What did you have to do with that? How much money did you have to transfer? What did you do to earn that? It's a gift. It's a gift. Thirdly, under this argument is at the moment of you and I rupturing or rapturing, if we drop dead or we get called up by the trumpet blast, the moment you and I enter eternity, your faith, listen to this, the Bible says your faith will no longer be necessary. You think of that? You ever think of that? The only thing that's going to be operational according to the Bible in 1 Corinthians 13 is what? Love lasts forever. You're not going to be in heaven needing faith. Gosh, I know I see Jesus standing right there and I can talk to him at any time, but I need to believe in Jesus. No, you don't. Talk to him. You're there. Isn't that going to be great? No one's going to be walking around, I need more faith. Dude, you're in the wrong place if that's what you're talking about. In heaven, you won't need faith. It'll be done. The faith, remember, is that vehicle that transports you to the presence of God. When you and I inherit the presence of God in all eternal reality, no need for faith. Why? Because it will be swallowed up in reality. That is going to be an amazing, awesome moment. And so mark this, if you would. Romans 5:9 says, much more than. Romans 5:9, much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. That's what we can look forward to through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, that means Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world, the death of his son, much more, listen to this, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Church, are you guys all okay? You all right? Can you look at that verse very carefully? Very carefully. If someone's sleeping next to you, wake them up. They got to get this verse and then they can go back to sleep, but they got to get this one. Much more than having now been justified. Are you tracking with me? Done deal. You have an orange sweater on. You don't have to think about getting an orange sweater or putting an orange sweater on. You're wearing it. You got that? You have been justified because you have that orange sweater on. Watch. It's done. People, watch. It's done. It's all there in the past tense. How? By his blood. This is Levitical terms. This is Old Testament talk. By his blood, Jesus Christ alone presented this as an offering for me. What was the result? I've been justified. I know I'm going to hear the answer, and it's perfectly accurate. It's not a silly response. What does justified mean? Say it louder, Peggy. She's exactly correct. Justified means justified, never sinned. That's how God views you who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep the verse up. We shall be saved. Now, wait a minute. You just said I'm justified. That's right. We shall be saved. Which one is it? Yes. Yes, it is. We shall be saved from the wrath, the punishment of sin, hell, death, God's vengeance. How's that going to happen? It's through him. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. Now, that's a fact, you know. Jesus died on the cross for all of our sins, if you believe it or not. You may not enjoy the benefits of it because of unbelief. You may not make it to heaven. You may be cruising in first class right now, but you're sinking. Your name will wind up on a list lost in eternity. But just know this, Jesus died for your sins and mine. We were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, past tense, we shall be saved, future tense, by his life. Amen. That just simply means that now that you're saved, you're living your life out for God. You're not in the process of salvation. Because you are saved, you're living out your Christian life right now, aren't you? And you have absolute assurance that when your life is all over, you see him. I don't know about you, I'm encouraged. Christian, know your place, the position that you enjoy in Christ. God's gift of salvation often comes to us if we remember how we came to Christ unexpectedly, remarkably, I'd like to put it, abounding, unique, to say the least. And I want to give you an example. You think about when how did you hear about the gospel? How did that happen? How did you experience, or were you beginning to be awakened to concepts of God and understanding of the nature of God? Listen, this is one of those unexpected things. This is one of the best things. And this is in your Bible, my friend. John chapter 4, verse 10. You know the story, John 4, the woman at the well. You know who she was? She's here right now. And there's men just like her too. There's always been men and women like this. She had had, I think, four husbands, and she's living with a current man who's her fifth, but not really. I mean, this girl got around. She lives in Samaria. And we know that she's coming in the heat of the day to get water from the well, from Jacob's well. And that's normal that she'd come in the heat of the day because all of the acceptable women would have come in the morning. That's when the women go get water from the well in the morning when it's cooler. She can't do that. She'd be ridiculed by those the local Samaritans. She would have been, no, she waits. She has to wait till the afternoon. She comes. She goes to the well and there's Jesus. And Jesus says to her, "Can I have a drink of water?" And she goes, "You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. You should know that Jews don't ask Samaritans for help." And he said, "Oh, where's your husband?" And we know she's flirting with him because she lies. Can you imagine flirting with God? She says, "I don't have a husband." What does that mean? "I'm totally free." And Jesus says, "Not only do you not have a husband, you've had four husbands, and the man you're living with right now is not your husband." And she says, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." And Jesus said, "If you knew who it was who was speaking to you right now, you would ask me for a drink of water." Is that awesome? Listen, some of you need to hear this. You've had four wives or husbands, and the person you're living with now is not your wife or your husband. You know what that means? Translation, cut to the chase. You're searching for fulfillment, and you're searching for meaning, and you've messed up royally, and you're not making any improvements. You're lost and you're hurting and you're trying to find yourself, and that ain't how you do it. You need to perceive that he's a prophet. And Jesus says, "Listen, I give living water to those who will receive it." And she says, "Sir, give me this water to drink." She gets saved. She goes back to her town and she tells everybody there. They won't believe her because she's a promiscuous girl. Nobody believes her. The town says, "We'll go out and check them out on our own." And they did. Sometimes salvation comes unexpectedly. But remember this. It may come unexpectedly, but it's free because it's by God's grace. And Matthew 10, verse 8 says, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." 2 Corinthians 9:15, the Bible says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable," what? Gift. Romans 5:15, the Bible says there that salvation is the free gift. Isn't that awesome? Romans 3:24, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." There's a verse to memorize. Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." We read this earlier. "And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Third and final argument right here, mark it down, and we'll come to a close here. How is salvation experienced? It is received. So mark this down if you would. Received. Did I say this is our last point? It's not our last point. We're close to our last point. Secondly, it's received by faith alone. I'll do this quickly. By faith alone. It's received by faith alone. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:1 that faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. Faith gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Faith takes us to the reality of God. By the way, Christian, be very careful. Don't let anybody ever tell you, even an unbeliever, listen up. Just make that blind leap of faith. I refuse to make that blind leap of faith. Christianity is faith founded upon fact. I'm going to go quick now. Listen, write this verse down. Don't forget it. All of us need to be reminded of this. 1 John 5:13. 1 John's written to Christians. Listen to what he says. 1 John 5:13. "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Every Christian knows they have eternal life. It's the Holy Spirit's job. I mean this lovingly. Hear me out. If today you claim to be a Christian, but you have no assurance of salvation, it may be, A, you have unusually strange unbelief or doubts. I mean, over the top doubts. Or you may not be a Christian at all. You may be very religious. You may want to be saved, but you don't understand what salvation is. All I know, based upon the Bible, is these things have been written that you may know you have eternal life. Even the most bumbling, stumbling, goofball Christian in the world knows they have eternal life. And I would never want to wrongly pat you on the back and give you some comfort when you don't need comfort. You need salvation. It may be this morning that you've never enjoyed the security of your salvation. But you go to church. But you have a Bible. But you may not be saved. Those who are His know that they're His. If you don't know if you don't know that relationship, you must call upon Him now, who is faithful. Before we do wrap this up in the final argument, let me put this to you. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father but through me, is your faith in Him alone? If it's not in Him alone, listen, I'll give you a clue. If your faith is not in Him alone, you're still trying to do good things to earn His favor. If your faith is not in Christ alone to save you, then you're still caught up in trying to be good enough to have God give you a smile. You're trying to color inside the lines so perfectly to make Him happy that you might earn a smile from Him. If that's your pursuit, if that's your life, you need to get saved. We don't color inside the lines because we have to. We color inside the lines because we get to. And when we color outside the lines, we go, oops, Lord, look, I colored outside the lines. Lord, help me to stay inside the lines. Okay. So let me put it to you this way. I hope this makes sense. It made sense to me when I made it up. Where have you not been? Where have you not been? I wrote this down. Where have you not been? Paris? Did you say you've not been to Paris? Now, what if I handed you an airline ticket today to Paris? If I handed you an airline ticket today, it was like, what? I handed you an airline ticket. Guess what? It has your name on it. It's been paid for. Ooh, let's make it really good. It has today's date on it. Has the gate that you're supposed to get to. Has the airline. And it's seat 1A. It's first of the first class. And I hand it to you. And I go like this. That's yours. And you open up the envelope. First thing, you got to open up the envelope. Open up the envelope. You pull it out. What do you do with that? All expenses paid. What are you going to do with it? Some people are going to go, I don't believe it. Assuming you have the time off, you don't believe it. Some people might say, let's go drive around the airport. Let's just drive down there, take a little drive. Drive around LAX. We'll drive by Air France. Just kind of see. Why don't you go in there and see if the flight 601, see if the 601 is actually on the board. They come back. 601's it's on the board. It says the boarding time here is in 3 hours. Let's go home. A lot of people drive around Jesus, you know. God bless the person who rips open the envelope, looks at it, and says, honey, get the car. They drive to LAX, and they've got French fries. They've got French toast. Why? Because they're going to Paris. So, excuse me, why are you so excited? I'm going to Paris! Going to Paris! How do you know? Got a ticket! Well, have you ever been to Paris? Nope! Well, how do you know it exists? Ah, it's got to, of course it does. Heard about it all my life. How do you know the plane? How do you know this ticket's going to get you on the plane? I got a ticket. But you've never been to Paris before. Have you ever been on this flight before? Nope. Have you ever been on Air France before? Nope. I've never flown before. Then how do you know you're going to get to Paris? How do you know this plane's going to get off the ground? How do you know anybody even, what if there's no pilots? What about fuel? Did they put fuel in the tank? Do you understand where I'm going with this? This is exactly what people are doing with Jesus. You would get excited about a flight to Paris, and you put so much faith in the system, you never even doubt if a pilot's going to show up, do you? You never even think about them fueling up that plane. You completely assume that that jet engine is going to override drag, produce enough lift on the wing to get that carcass of a metal beast off the ground and get you 7,000 miles to Paris. You made grand assumptions and you never even thought about the technicalities of it all. And people can't even put their faith in Jesus. You have no, listen, you don't even know if your car is going to turn over when you go out in the parking lot today, but you're not even thinking about it. Why? You have faith in your car. God says, you put that same thing in me. And I have to end with this. It's by Christ alone. It's all by Jesus. Salvation is provided by Jesus Christ, period. I want to yell right now, but I'm not going to, period. It's provided by Jesus Christ right now, period. Do you believe that? How do you know you're going to heaven? It's provided by Jesus. Guys, put the slide up. This is amazing. No one's having a problem with this. People are banking on this. Check this out. Time Magazine. That's not Photoshop. That's for real. People are not laughing. Did you know Google said that their goal is to extend human life up to 500 years? Before they reach this. Google is working on dissolving death. Now, first of all, listen, what kind of a bozo would want to live in this world for 500 more years? And what would you look like? Number two, people take this very seriously. Oh man, I mean, leave it up to Google. I mean, they can do anything. Really? This is old news. Google's like 2,000 years late. Because only Jesus can solve the problem of death. Here's the amazing thing. The world is so messed up. They're seriously considering this. Give it up! Jesus already did it. And then here's what I'd like to do, Google. Hey, Google, what happens after you do die anyway? You're not going to solve death. Google this. What happens after you die? Hey, Google, what happens after you die? Are you with me, Yiki? Are you thinking about this? You need to put your faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Trust Him because it's by Him alone. There's nothing you can do about that. You trust Him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know All About Your Salvation. It's really a series within a series taken from Pastor Jack's collection of studies called You Need to Know. And we'll continue with more of You Need to Know All About Your Salvation on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. You know, one of the more, shall we say, awkward moments when sharing our faith is simply getting that conversation started. You know, just breaking the ice, wouldn't you agree? Well, here's one way. Tell a friend about Real Radio and Real Life with Jack Hibbs. If you have the Real Life smartphone app, maybe you can show it to your friend. And if you don't have it, remember, it's a free download. Just go to your app store and look for the Real Life app. If your friend's already a believer, simply direct them to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. So again, maybe in the next few days, tell a friend about Real Radio and Real Life with Jack Hibbs, and maybe even direct them to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.